Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Plaza, ladies and gentlemen, on KSFR and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We're also podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. So today is Friday, and I will actually be here all morning broadcasting and walking around the plaza, and Robert Knott will be here in just a little while speaking of the arts, and Catherine Flynn will be here, too, talking about the New Deal anniversary celebration. Right now, I would like to welcome the good folks from the Rotary Club of Santa Fe. Lita Scoggins is the president, Barry Kay is the president-elect, and Guadalupe Goler is a longtime member. Welcome.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Now, the Rotary Club plays a role in presenting pancakes on the plaza.
Correct. The Rotarians have been involved with the pancake breakfast since its inception as volunteers, and this year they've taken on a new position. The event is being sponsored by the Rotary Club of Santa Fe in conjunction with the United Way and the Santa Fe New Mexican.
And so what do you do here? Do you actually do Rotarians mix the dough? And
we have a tent, and we're known for our smiles and good food, and it's one of the favorite tents on the plaza. We actually cook the pancakes, the sausage, and serve up the food.
Now, the Rotary Club is an international service club with a long history.
Yes, its inception was in 1904. And has a long history both internationally and, of course, here locally. The Rotary Club was an all-male organization originally and accepted women in the 80s for the first time.
Only in the 80s?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I wonder what that struggle was like. So how did you get involved with it?
I became aware of the Rotary Club from their very many service projects in the community and around the world. And it's a great opportunity to give back to the community and to other people. One of the attractive things about the Rotary Club is there's very little operating costs that are passed on to any of the philanthropic efforts. It's all done by Rotarians, and what they give goes to those people and those charities.
So it's a totally volunteer organization.
Yes.
Now, how do you choose what organizations or what individuals or what events are recipients of your largesse?
We typically have a process where we will solicit grants from needy organizations or people who are needing our help. We do humanitarian grants, and we also do grants to children and youth in the arts and in education from two different foundations that we have set up.
I remember when I was in college, there were some people who got Rotary fellowships or Rotary scholarships to help them continue their studies.
We do. We have an ambassadorial scholarship recipient in Venezuela right now, and we are currently supporting another ambassadorial scholarship now. She has been a Peace Scholar in the past and went to several workshops internationally to learn skills in mediation and peace with other countries.
So what are the founding principles of the Rotary?
The main objective is service above self, and we also have a four-way test that we always look at projects and at our own objectives and aims, and in that, is it good for the people involved, is it fair, those type of things. So we have a high ethical standard.
And when you have, for example, Rotary meetings, how do the standards and the principles which underlie the organization actually come into your daily decisions and activities?
We always use the four-way test as a standard for judging our efforts. We always remind ourselves of our principles and why we do things. Our two foundations have very specific missions that we go by to make sure we're reaching the needs of the people in the community. We also have a lot of international projects. We currently are doing some service projects in Chihuahua, working with some of the Tarahumara Indians and providing electricity and water to some of their schools.
How do people get involved with Rotary? How do you become a Rotarian?
Rotarians, the club is open to membership from everyone. We look for strong leaders, people who have the ability to lead and manage and also have the desire in their heart to provide the service above self to other people.
Is there an age, lower age limit?
I don't think so.
I don't believe so. We do, in our club, have a special program for under 35 Rotarians where we reduce some of the financial dues to make it easier for them to participate as they're starting their career.
So are the dues what finance the organization?
The dues basically provide for some basic operational cost of the club, but most of the money that is given to out to the community is from fundraising or from personal donations from the club.
We're talking to the folks from the Santa Fe Rotary Club. Now, there's three Rotary Clubs in Santa Fe. You're the downtown Rotary Club.
That's right.
And why? Just because there's too many people?
The different clubs meet the needs of different people in the community. We have a breakfast club that meets on Tuesday mornings at 7 a.m. for people who find it difficult to break away from the workday to come. Our meetings are at noon on Thursday. We meet at the lodge. And then the Santa Fe Rotary Club del Sur meets at the Santa Fe Country Club on Wednesday at noon. So it serves people who are on that side of town. So we try to meet the needs and make it available to people according to their schedules and their needs.
So if people want to become a Rotarian, do they have to go through like a hazing?
We don't call it a hazing. We call it a getting to know you and an indoctrination where we get to know the Rotarians and make sure they get to know us in Rotary. As much as we look to them for their leadership, we also look for direct involvement and participation. It's a club that is a really hands-on club. It's not just a social club, although we're very, very social too. So we really want to make sure that people understand they're making a commitment to give back when they come into the club.
Guadalupe Goulet, how did you get involved in the Rotary?
Well, I got involved through my daughter. I was not a Rotarian when she became an exchange student. She went to Belgium as an exchange student. And going back to the question that you asked, Lita, if it's age frame that you can become an Rotarian. As an adult, it's not, but we do have Rotarac, which are for teenagers, and it's a very wonderful program for young people to get involved. So my daughter became a Rotarian. She became a Rotarian. She went to Belgium, and I went to the meetings when she was about to leave, and I love what Rotarians were doing there. So I told her what a wonderful thing they do, and she totally encouraged me to get in touch with them. So I did, and it has been a wonderful journey of almost 15, 16 years that I've been a Rotarian.
And so you're a local small business owner in Santa Fe.
Yes.
And your business is a store right here off of the plaza.
Yes.
There are a lot of business people in Rotary, is that correct?
Yes, we are mainly business people. I mean, that's where Rotarians being, having a business background, that's why we can be so productive, or projects can be done because we have the business background to do it.
Now, you're in Mexico, you're from Mexico, and Rotary is an international organization. When you go to other countries, do you meet the other Rotarians?
Yes. When I travel, I try to go to Rotary meetings and in the other countries. And it's really wonderful because, in a way, you feel at home among other Rotarians.
Do you? I mean, is there a common bond somehow,
absolutely.
A cultural connection?
Yes, absolutely. I've been in Costa Rica and Argentina and in many other places, and I visit a Rotary Club, and I'm sure my fellow Rotarian will say the same.
Now, Barry Kay, you are the president-elect.
That's right.
How did you get involved in Rotary?
Well, in my case, I was living overseas. I was an active duty naval officer. When I retired, came back to the United States, and I didn't know anybody when I settled down in California, and it was suggested to me that you might want to join one of the service clubs. And so I looked around, and Rotary appealed to me, the types of things that they do, the philanthropic projects that they were involved with. So I joined, and my initial attraction was to the speakers. Every week at our meetings, we have a special speaker somebody from the law profession, somebody from government, somebody from business, Wall Street stockbrokers, so on and so forth. So the initial attraction was twofold for me, was particularly to network and meet people that I would have never had another opportunity to do, and then to listen to the wonderful programming that's provided. Keeps you up to date, you know, what's going on in the community, locally, statewide, and nationally.
What are some of the philanthropic projects in Santa Fe that you've been most excited about?
Well, when I first moved to Santa Fe, the first project that I became directly involved with was to celebrate Rotary's 100th anniversary several years ago. We came up with a project for Rotarians to build a Habitat for Humanity home.
Oh, wow.
So what we tried to do was, in keeping with the theme, is 100 Rotarians build a habitat house in 100 days. And so that was a very exciting. I was the project manager for that. And not only did we accomplish the initial goals, we actually paid for the home as well. So it was a very heartwarming thing for me, and it was a great introduction to Santa Fe.
Do you still have, as Rotary, relationships with the people who lived in the house?
We moved right on to, we started doing other projects in the home building. We went to another home. We didn't sponsor that home directly, but we had many volunteers, you know, working on other homes. Then we built a home, and I don't remember the lady. It was covered in the newspaper to a great degree. It was a gentleman, a married couple, and he was extremely ill with cancer. He had started a project to build a home for his wife to leave as his legacy, and his health deteriorated to the point where he couldn't continue. So Rotary jumped in, and we finished that house, I think it was in the following year, and that was also very heartwarming. That was a wonderful project.
Are there a lot of ex-military in Rotary?
Well, a lot of people that have served in the military, going back to the Second World War, to tell you the truth. We have a number of people. Not too many career people like myself, but, yeah, a good number of people have served in Army, Air Force, Marines, yes.
And so do you have trouble recruiting people who are of the younger? I mean, in Santa Fe, it seems like a lot of these organizations are getting older and older, and there's not the fresh blood coming in to fill the ranks.
Last year, for the first time, we did a program called a Leadership Institute. And this program was developed by some Rotarians in El Paso, and they have since put on that workshop at Duke and at Stanford and around the country. And they come in for 3 days, and we're doing it with our club now. And we bring young people who are potential leaders in the community and give them and work with them on leadership skills for 3 days. This past year, I believe 4 of those participants came into our Rotary Club and have stepped up and are playing important roles in our club now. So that's one tool that's been successful for us in attracting the young people.
What are leadership skills, and how can they be cultivated?
I think it's an in-depth study of the skills that are needed as applied by people who have been successful in different management positions and areas of leadership, and they work one-on-one with these young people to share those skills and teach them.
Yes, but I would like to take the opportunity to mention to the city what a wonderful program in the exchange student, the exchange student program we have. As I mentioned, I happen to have that personal experience through my daughter. I didn't know about Rotary, but when I became Rotarian, I got familiar what a wonderful service we can do, and anybody could apply, any teenager can apply. You have to be in your last year of high school. You can choose a couple of countries where you would like to go. You don't have to pay for where you stay. You have to stay with Rotarians. And the experience that teenagers get out of that is fantastic. And I'm so thankful that you allow us to be here in the radio, because that's a program that I'm so fond of it, the exchange student program. It's the biggest exchange student program in the world. So I don't know if you would like to mention.
Yeah, I'd just like to piggyback on the comments about leadership. And that's, I think that's one of the hidden, I mean, the greatest hidden benefit of young people coming to organizations like Rotary, because there they get to network with people they would never meet before, all who are community leaders. And in my case, as a young person, I learned from my seniors and the people that went before me, and they passed down the lessons of leadership, management, or whatever you, however you want to characterize it. And so you, that's how you learn things. And for a young person to be isolated in a, you know, a specific job, he's just going to know about the people that are immediately around him. When he joins a club like Rotary, and Rotary especially, he's going to be, you have the whole community open up to him as far as being able to network with these people. They're not only club members, but they all be, also the senior membership becomes their mentors, and you know, provides guidance and connections, and you know, it can open up a whole new world for a young person.
And it's nonpartisan. You don't have any sort of political leanings.
No, actually, politics are sort of verboten.
Leave it at the door.
Right.
Barry Kay is the president-elect of the Rotary Club of Santa Fe. Lita Scoggins is the president of the Rotary Club. Guadalupe Goler is a longtime member. How do people get in touch if they are interested in getting involved in Rotary?
We have a website, www.santafe.rotary.org. It has lots of information, or they can call direct to our club. The number is 982-4623.
Well, I want to thank you all so much for being here on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
And happy 4th of July.
Yay. Thank you.
We're going to take a little break right now. Stay tuned to KSFR. I'd like now to welcome Catherine Flynn. She is the author, along with Richard Polese, of the New Deal 75th Anniversary Celebration. And she will actually be speaking tomorrow, Saturday, July 5th at 11 o'clock. At Garcia Street Books. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you very much.
And Robert Knott is here. You're here already.
Happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July to you. Robert Knott is the associate editor of the Plaza Tiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico. He's with us here just about every Friday speaking of the arts. We're glad you came early.
Thanks.
So let's talk about the New Deal. First of all, for those people who are just coming into adulthood, what's the New Deal?
That was a program that came out of the presidency of Franklin Delano Roosevelt in 1933. It was a whole series of programs that he put together to save the country when it was in total destitution, the Great Depression era, and there was many, many programs, one of which, since we're sitting in front of a bank, was the Federal Deposit Insurance Administration, or Commission, FDIC, that saved the banks, brought them back up because all of the banks in town and the state and the nation were closed because of the horrible situation we were in.
Everyone's heard of FDIC, and everybody's heard of a lot of programs, but probably a lot of people don't know that they were New Deal.
People who get a check every month from the Social Security should be very appreciative of FDR, considering that that was another major program that came out of the New Deal. And I certainly appreciate it every month when I get my Social Security check. But some people, if they have white hair or no hair, remember things that happened back then, but particularly the WPA. That was a big program. Another one was the CCC, Civilian Conservation Corps. And those young men are now in their late 80s and early 90s, and they built, between the WPA and the CCC, there are so many things that they did for us then that we're still enjoying today.
And what are some of those things?
Bandelier, Carlsbad Caverns. Now, they didn't build those things. God took care of the things that we go see. But when we wanted to go to the bathroom, or we wanted to go into a shop, or we wanted to sit down, or we wanted to drive to the down the road to get to those places, they built all those things.
And there's also a lot of incredible art projects around the country. And in fact, we had on this show Susan Quinn, who wrote a book about the New Deal Theater Project not too long ago. But there's, I mean, and those things, it's sort of bittersweet because the theater, it has a legacy, but you can't see the WPA projects, but you can see a lot of the visual art.
Well, that's why one of the things I've done is some years back formed an organization, a nonprofit, called the National New Deal Preservation Association. And we have a chapter here in New Mexico, and we've spent over $500,000 either conserving or preserving or restoring the public art in New Mexico. And
tell us about some of that public art in New Mexico.
Well, you can wander down to the federal courthouse a block from here, around town, down in the plaza. There's six very large murals by William Penhallow Henderson that are fabulous. And now, upstairs on the second floor, there are three paintings of art focused on Native American art. That was originally in a post office in Gallup. It's now on the second floor here, and that just happened. Randall Davey did a huge triptych of polo ponies, which he was very famous for.
Now, Randall Davey is associated with the Audubon Center here.
That's right. That was his home. And we have restored a large painting, and it's now hanging in the State Capitol Annex. And it's really nice. There are some paintings in the Supreme Court building, which is also a New Deal building. I say New Deal rather than the different programs that were funded, because there were so many different ones. But the courthouse down around a block from here, I love it when I can go into a town and say, well, I'm standing right here, and it's that building and that building and that building. And that happened to me two weeks ago in Ponca City, Oklahoma. There were just buildings all on that corner that were New Deal buildings.
We're talking to Catherine Flynn. When associates, I mean, I'm opening your book and seeing some of these paintings of factory workers, and there was a kind of a style of art that really glorified the ordinary man kind of thing.
And the work ethic.
The work ethic.
And that was intentional, because, of course, nobody had any jobs. Everybody was unemployed. Not everybody, but most everybody was unemployed. And so one of the things they did was employ the artist and encourage them, in lots of cases, in the murals, to paint work scenes, so that also gave the message that there is hope, it's going to happen, you're going to get a job, it's going to come back.
It's also a program that was inclusive of African-American workers and human beings in a pre-civil rights era.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm trying to remember what town or state it was, but I remember seeing a story about an African-American artist who went to a town to do a painting in the post office, and the postmaster said, you better stay at my house while you're here, because I'm not sure you'd be accepted somewhere else. But he said, by the time I was through working on that mural in the post office, people came to realize, because they would come in every day and watch it progress, they would realize, number one, that African Americans they were pretty good at what they did, in his case, art, and that artists didn't necessarily, they weren't really weird or crazy or something. They were just the same as everybody else.
And some of the photographic projects that came out of that are the great masterpieces of the 20th century.
The Farm Security Administration, that was another thing. They put photography to work to record what we looked like all over the nation. And in New Mexico, they recorded up in northern New Mexico, Truchas, Trompas, and down below, Pytown.
And those were not whitewashed images either.
Oh, no, not at all. And, of course, some of them became very well known. Dorothea Lange, and many people know the big photograph of the migrant mother. And in the book, I have a picture of the same people that migrant mother has three of her children. She had more before she was through. But here are the same three people, the little girls. Then in 1970.
Isn't that amazing? You don't expect that. They grew up into nice suburban people sitting on a lawn.
Yeah. And mother put on a little more weight than she had even as a migrant mother, like the rest of us.
That is quite an incredible document. Tell us about the genesis of this book.
Well, I had done a book on New Mexico's New Deal. It's called Treasures on New Mexico Trails, and it's kind of like a drive around and see what you can see in all the towns in New Mexico, whether it's buildings or art or state parks or national monuments or national parks. And when Gibbs Smith Publishers bought Ancient City Press here in Santa Fe, he wanted to do some more things, and he wanted to do some more subjects. And he has quite a press in Layton, Utah. And Richard Polizzi told him that, you know, maybe you should do the New Deal because this year is the 75th anniversary and it would be a good thing to publicize. And he said, oh, good. Well, who? And he said, well, you got to get Kathy Flynn to do it because she knows about the New Deal and the 75th. And also, there I was. And so going from what I knew about New Mexico to what I knew about the nation to write a book was a whole nother challenge. And when I was in state government here for 27 years, so I've known a lot of what we had around the state, and but also being a bureaucrat, the stuff I was writing was, I think he felt, Gibb Smith thought it was a little too bureaucratic, so he grabbed Richard and said, can you kind of wrap this up a little bit, make it more or less bureaucratic? And so Richard and I worked on it together then and loved it.
And so the book is called The New Deal 75th Anniversary Celebration, forward by Anna Eleanor Roosevelt. Richard Polizzi participated on it, and you were speaking tomorrow at Garcia Street Books at 11 in the morning right here in Santa Fe. What is the New Deal Preservation Association doing around the state of New Mexico, and do you ask for people to get involved?
Oh, we'd love to have people get involved, and we'd love for them to contribute monies. We just saw Representative Jim Trujillo walking down the road here, and he had helped us get us money. That's the legislature's gotten us money, but we are finishing up a fresco at New Mexico State University that had been painted over. We have done...
You restored it and took the paint off? Oh, my goodness.
It had enamel paint all over it.
Oh, Lord.
The scenes were repainted by maintenance guys. And we have taken 6 coats of white paint off of 7 murals at Highlands University. Those are now exposed again. And we're looking for some money to finish up the conservation. We've got them now, and we want to... We'll make sure they're in good shape after they've had 6 coats of white paint on them. And we just finished, we did the Randall Davy.
Are there any laws protecting historical art in those contexts?
That kinds of things? No. And it gets painted over, it gets torn down, it gets thrown out, all these kinds of things. And things show up that weren't where they started. Because I think things ended up in people's offices, and if they're in that office long enough, they figure, well, that's my art. I'll just take it home when I retire.
Oh, my goodness.
And so we're still trying to find some of the things that are missing. And in my treasures book, I have a list of all the things that we know of that are, quote, missing.
And, ladies and gentlemen, the pajama parade is passing by.
Oh, great.
On the plaza, the cutest little things in the whole world are just in their pajamas and marching down this street.
Can I ask Kathy a question?
Please.
It strikes me there's a reason FDR was elected 4 times, 32, 36, 40, and 44. And, I mean, in a broad sense, he just seemed to make us all feel like we could contribute something to putting the country back on track.
Absolutely.
And he made choices, and he took risks, and he said, let's do this. What if we had an FDR today? Is it something we could use? What do you think he would do today?
Why do you think I have this button on, Robert, that says we need FDR now? Absolutely. And look at what's on the front of the Positi Info. Did you know that's a New Deal place? The mall in Washington, D.C. is New Deal. The thing about the New Deal, it's totally taken for granted because there's so many things that we use that we never realize we're using, like our sewer systems and our water systems. Those are some of the biggest things that happen. We need him. We need somebody who can lead us and help us come back from some of the problems that we have today.
Catherine Flynn, thanks so much for being with
us. Thank you. I appreciate having the opportunity, and thanks for mentioning the book.
And this wonderful book is The New Deal 75th Anniversary Celebration, chock full of pictures and illustrations of all kind, and wonderful text as well. We're going to take a little break right now. We'll be right back. I'd like to welcome back Robert Knott. Hi, Robert.
Hey, good morning. Happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July. Are you feeling independent?
I'm feeling glad to be an American. It's nice to feel that way sometimes. And we're down here on the plaza where there is, I think maybe the Air Force Band is currently singing the Star Spangled Banner. Beautiful song.
Indeed.
I always like America the Beautiful a little bit better. That'll probably get me shot. But I know there were some efforts to make that our anthem. But it's a great day. Everybody's down here. They're having a blast. You can still come down. You can still get pancakes. And there's going to be music and activities, I think, through mid-afternoon.
And my dog, Orejas, is here, whose name is also Horatio.
He's beautiful.
For those who can't pronounce Orejas. And he's a good dog, and he's an independence
dog. He's a good dog. He's very patriotic.
He's very patriotic. And ladies and gentlemen, come down to the KSFR booth on the plaza, which is right in front of the First National Bank, on the northwest corner of the plaza.
How long are you going to be here?
All day. All morning.
And you're going to start having the animal guys on Friday.
We are indeed.
Next week, right?
The first Friday of the month. Bill Hutchison and our other animal people are going to be here on the first Friday instead of the first Wednesday of the month.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
So is anything happening this weekend, or are we all just going to be digesting pancakes?
No, there's a lot happening. If you pick up the Pasatiempo, the cover story, which happens to be written by me, is about a photo display at Monroe Gallery on Don Gaspar, and it looks like a really terrific display. It's called 40 Years Ago Today, and it's how photographers looked at the year 1968, which in many ways was a watershed year, unfortunately with a lot of turmoil and tragedy, including the assassination of both Martin Luther King Jr. and Senator Bobby Kennedy, who was then trying in a bid to become president. The photographer Bill Eppridge, who was on hand when Kennedy was shot and who took a lot of monumental photos that year, he'll be at Monroe Gallery 5 to 7 p.m. Saturday, tomorrow, July 5th, at 112 Don Gaspar, to just there for the reception. And it's great. It's a great little story in Pasa. I don't know if I was going to plug my own stuff in. It sounds like a great look at a year that in many ways seems to parallel this year, what we're going through in terms of the hope combined with a little bit of angst and fear. So that's a big photo display I would urge people to take in. On the goofy side, if you feel like getting in your vehicle and going down 285 South, you can hit Roswell in about 3 hours for their annual 4th of July and UFO Festival.
UFO Conference, yes.
I know. I've been there several times. I actually have friends that live in Roswell, so I often have reason to go down there. So among the many antics going on down there is the play Alien Hunters of the E.T. Cafe. They're going to show 2001 A Space Odyssey, and actor Keir Dullier will be on hand to speak about it.
Was that a 1968 movie, 2001?
Surprise, surprise, it certainly was. Yeah. And they're going to show E.T. and Dee Wallace Stone, or Dee Wallace, will also be on hand. And they're going to have lectures and workshops and stuff. And it's a hoot. I've been down there a couple times during the festival. I don't think I'm going this year, but you can be there in about 3 hours if you like.
If you don't want to go all the way to Roswell, there's a lot of 4th of July events in Madrid, New Mexico.
Yeah, that's one.
There's a ball game and Madrid teams going on now. There's a parade at noon, a barbecue behind the Mineshaft Tavern to benefit the Madrid Volunteer Fire Department. And there's historic photos of Madrid in the performance space at Johnson's of Madrid Gallery. Lots of good stuff going on. Madrid is a small, big town.
It certainly is. And it's not the only place having celebrations today. Let's keep going. El Dorado is having their 4th of July parade and celebration starting at 10 a.m. So if you live out there, there's going to be a big parade for the kids, a costume contest, etc., etc. No charge. You'll find it. I think it's going to be going down to Avenida Del Monte Sol. Of course, tonight is the 4th of July fireworks at Santa Fe High Campus. There's also going to be performances by Sol Fire and Lumbre del Sol. The gates open at 5:30. Fireworks start at 9. We're not supposed to name prices on KSFR, your community
radio
station.
Except if it's free.
It's a donation of, and I'm putting up one finger, that's all. And that benefits
it's
Boys
It's a donation
and Girls
of Robert Knott's index finger.
But you got to pay for parking, which is not a bad deal. Pancakes on the Plaza continues through the afternoon. Come on down. Say hello. I'll probably be here at about 10-ish. Not that you want to see me. People wanted to put me in that dunking booth over there and throw balls
ten-ish?
To knock me into the water. You know what those things are? They thought that, like, if I volunteered to do that, people would do it. But I thought if Raquel Welch volunteered to do it, people would do it, because I would certainly throw some softballs at the thing to make her go into the water. So there's some art openings tonight. Let's talk about them.
Let's.
It's the first Friday Art Walk on Palace Avenue if you're downtown. Many galleries, including Peterson Cody, Manitou, and Chuck Jones, will be taking part. Most of the receptions are roughly 5 to 7:30 p.m. Sage Creek on Old Santa Fe Trail, 200 Old Santa Fe Trail, has sculpture by Lincoln Fox, reception 5 to 7. Touching Stone over on Old Santa Fe Trail across from the Texaco Station, which is my mechanic, 5 to 7. They have Quiet Passion, contemporary Tamba pottery. Joe Wade Fine Arts down here on Water Street has paintings by Joe O'Terry, reception 5 to 7. Jenny Cooley Gallery, 717D is in Delightful Canyon Road, has a great sounding title, Roadside Attractions and Tacky Souvenirs.
Mm.
It's a juried group show, reception 4 to 7. I'm going to try to swing by and say hello. Most of these shows run through July at least. Gallery Zuger down here at 120 West San Francisco Street has a watercolors by Michael Atkinson. Reception today, 4 to 8 p.m. through July. They also have a reception tomorrow, I think the same time. And finally, Blue Rain Gallery on 130 Lincoln Avenue, Suite D, has paintings by Sean Dedeker, Beth McPherson, and Justin Taylor with a reception from 5 to 7. So a lot of art openings, even though it's the 4th of July.
And on the 5th of July, tomorrow, Michael Combs is going to be playing Upper Crust Pizza from 6 to 9, fiddle, accordion, guitar, old-timey Mexicano, Quebecois, and honky-tonk, and Western, no cover. And also in a couple of other days coming up in July, so check that out. He's a great musician and a wonderful person.
Uncle Sam's walking by us now, all dressed up in his patriotic attire behind you. The Santa Fe Opera continues this weekend.
Is that the real Uncle Sam or is it an impersonation?
I don't know. He's got sneakers on. I'm suspicious. Falstaff continues at the Santa Fe Opera, as does The Marriage of Figaro. I can recommend the latter, and I'm not much of an opera guy, as you can imagine.
But I saw you at The Marriage of Figaro the other night. It was really good.
I totally enjoyed it, and they sent me to review it, which is amazing, and I found myself really...
You reviewed an opera?
I reviewed an opera.
How'd
today's
that go for you?
Tempo, pretty well under the circumstances.
Cool.
So,
hey, look, you don't have a mustache anymore.
No, I shaved my face for the Independence Day. I got independent of everything.
Including facial hair.
I did, because I knew I didn't want to hear about it anymore on the air. And this, I
so now you're hearing about it on the air.
I hear about it regardless of what I do.
Well, you know.
Yes, I do know. You're giggling and smiling. And you're so cuddly over there.
That's because of Horatio the dog.
Tonight,
the dog.
There's music. What do you want to know about? Well, at the El Dorado, for example, El Dorado Hotel right off the plaza, South by Southwest, Americana and Western Swing, 8:30. You got to pay to get in. La Fiesta Lounge over at La Fonda, also on the plaza, has Night Train, 8 o'clock, no cover. The Ore House has Billy D. They're upstairs here on the plaza. Rock and Blues, 3:30 to 6:30, followed by the Rhubarbs, doing Americana, 8 o'clock, no cover. The Tin Star Saloon over there on Water Street has Rhythm Fish, classic rock, 9 o'clock, slight cover charge. If you feel like going to Tiny's, Mike Montiel and Bobby Glenn are on guitar, 5:30 p.m., Showcase Karaoke tonight at 8:30 with Nancy and Cindy. Nancy has an I and Cindy has a Y. One of these days, I swear, I'm going to go to one of these karaoke
and the
things.
I has a heart over it.
And do my Dean Martin. You're right. It does have a heart over it. Eyes should have hearts. Art Attack. The Broadcast Puppet Theater presents a one-act adult puppet play by Nancy Reiner, or Reiner, R-E-Y-N-E-R. I never mispronounce names purposely.
Why do you always say that?
Because I have a hard time with words. People know that, and I do a lot of malapropisms, but I would never mispronounce someone's name.
You didn't even mispronounce malapropism.
No, I know that by heart. 1 and 3 p.m. Saturday is the Nancy Reiner Studio at 3658 Sotillos Road, Unit 6. You got to pay to get in. Here's the phone number, 424-4128. Say that again, Robert, you went too fast. 424-4128. Hey, you were about to say something.
I was about to say that on Wednesday, the 9th of July at 3 o'clock at St. John's College, there is an event that lots of people might be interested in here in Santa Fe. Kenneth Wolfe will be doing a lecture called Rumi, The Intoxication of Divine Love.
Uh-oh.
And it's in the Junior Common Room at the Peterson Student Center at St. John's.
Oh, and if you're a follower of Rumi, you must have rheumatism. A little Rumi for a joke there.
Really funny.
Well, thanks.
For more information on events at St. John's, 984-6000. And there's another event, too, Music on the Hill. And that's the free summer concert series. The next one is also Wednesday, July 9th. If you stay after the Rumi lecture, you can be there from 6 to 8 p.m. at the athletic field at St. John's College. And let's see.
There's always Rumi to grow.
Even KSFR is involved with that. So it's a different jazz artists. And this time it's Hillary Smith and Straight Up.
This weekend is the 15th annual Santa Fe Wine Festival out at El Rancho de las Golondrinas, our living history museum south of town. It's a great place to visit, great place to bring visitors and the kids. Phone number is 471-2261. Just so you know, this year they're going to have 12 New Mexico wineries, live music with the Joe West Band and several other groups, food, arts and crafts, noon to 6 Saturday, and I think the same on Sunday. If I'm mistaken, I apologize. It is noon to 6 both days. So there you go. You want to get a shot of wine tomorrow after you've gone through your 4th of July festivities. You've drank too much beer.
A shot of wine?
Come on, you know not to drink and drive. I know that, too.
Do you drink wine in shot glass?
I don't know what you can do. So watch yourself this weekend. You know the police are going to be out there looking to take care of us. So call a cab, get a friend to drive you home, or sleep on somebody's couch. There's a lot of people's couches I'd love to sleep on. Kathy Flynn and Richard Pellese, they were on here earlier, but some people just tuned in. They're going to be speaking about the signing copies of the New Deal, a 75th anniversary celebration, 11 o'clock Saturday, at Garcia Street Books on Garcia Street. And I want to mention, following that at 2 p.m., Roseanne Olson will be there.
Yes.
To talk about This Is Who I Am.
And I had her on the air earlier this week.
That's
right. That was really nice.
She's a good interview, unlike others. And she, you're always good, of course, Mary Charlotte. She's put together a really nice photo book.
It's called This Is Who I Am, and it's photographs of. It's a very interesting book because it's photographs of women, either very slightly covered with a gauzy fabric or naked, and they're very beautiful but not sort of stereotype beautiful photographs.
Not models, women. I'm guessing 20 to
real
roughly
women.
95.
Yeah.
Who talk about their bodies, who seem to. Accept who they are, and it's really
and some don't. You know, there's that's the thing about the book. It has a lot of text in it, and the range of acceptance to, you know, self-loathing is pretty broad range.
Yeah, Barbara Ferry wrote a really nice piece in today's PASA on it. So please, if you pick up PASA Timbo, look for that story because she did a really nice job.
Now here's an email I got, and that is Sunday, this coming Sunday, the 6th of July at 6:30, the Habiris School of Kabbalah is having a benefit. It's called Words, an Evening of Poetry, Short Stories, and Songs, performed by poet Rose writer William W. Fuqua. Mm. And that's at the school at 542 Juniper Drive and 982-1891.
Nice.
Don't know much about it, but just thought I'd announce it.
There's a lot of weekend outdoor art shows if you're around town over the weekend. There goes Joey Chavez, a great guy from Santa Fe High. City Different Artisans Outdoor Market at the First Community Bank, parking lot 100 North Guadalupe. They're going to have a show tomorrow, 9 to 2 o'clock, no charge. The Northern New Mexico Fine Arts and Crafts Guild Art Fair is tomorrow, 10 to 5, down here off the plaza, Lincoln Avenue and Marcy, next to City Hall. The Santa Fe Artist Market continues, 9 to 3, at Casa Solana Shopping Center on Alameda, on the other side of St. Francis, no charge. And finally, the Santa Fe Society of Artists Group Show, 9 to 5, next to the El Dorado Hotel across from the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum near Johnson and Sandoval. Likewise, you have the Santa Fe Summer Show this weekend at Il Museo Cultural, Antiques, Ethnographic, Contemporary, Folk Art, 11 to 6. You got to pay to get into that. And the Santa Fe Farmers Market, not quite an art show, but that's continuing this Saturday, 7 to noon. Now they're over in the Pera building, P-E-R-A, off Paseo de Peralta until they get their new digs built in the rail yard. So a lot of outdoor events for this weekend. We might get some rain tonight according to the weather forecast, but tomorrow and Sunday are supposed to be clear. I could go for some rain, even if it drowns out the fireworks, and that should probably make a lot of people annoyed with me.
Well, you know, it would be ironic if the fireworks were rained out, because we've had so little rain that the one day that we actually want a dry day.
Right, but we should have rain like at 4:30. That's a good time to have rain, because that's when I get my beer out.
Well, it's good that you've made that clear to God.
God knows when I drink beer. He's like, Robert, what are you doing?
He knows when you're awake.
Absolutely. And he knows when I've been naughty and nice. More naughty, it seems like. Teresa Cardenas, Flamenco Productions, presents El Pintor, the painter.
Yes. We had her on the air this week, too.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, a very wonderful sounding performance. I have not seen the rehearsal, but it is going on nightly, except for Mondays, through the 23rd of June. So it's a very intense performance, and it's a very intense performance schedule.
At the Lodge of Santa Fe, 750 North St. Francis Drive. You want a phone number? Call the Lenzic.
988-1234.
Oh, we're melodic when we harmonize. Yeah, not bad at all. What time is it?
8:54.
Yikes.
Santa
Fe Bandstand Concert Series starts down here in the plaza Monday night, 6 o'clock, no charge. Then Tuesdays and Thursdays, they do a noon concert. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 6 p.m. concert. Come on down and dance. Jill Batson wrote a piece in today's PASA Tiempo about it. If you want to know all the details, it's presented to you by Outside In. The Santa Fe Photographic Workshops are going on with lectures.
The Santa Fe Bandstand is amazing.
They are amazing. It's a great thing to come down and hear.
It's a great thing to come down and do, and there's just so much live music. And for those people who like live music, it's just a treat.
It's pretty cool. What the heck was I talking about? Oh, yeah. Santa Fe Photographic Workshops Lecture Series at the Santa Fe Prep. No charge, 983-1400. Call for information. They're going to have presentations by Michael Webb and Andrew Eccles, E-C-C-L-E-S, this Tuesday at 8:30 p.m. So photographers will be speaking about their art, how they make it work. Anybody interested in photos should go there. I like this. There's going to be a lecture called The Danger in Playing with Animals, but it's about ceramicists. Bernadette Guerin will speak at 7 o'clock at Santa Fe Clay, Wednesday night, free. It's at 1615 Paseo de Peralta in the rail yard, 984-1122. Warehouse 21 is up and running over in the rail yard.
Amazing.
They're looking for any young people want to write one acts. They're looking for them. Let's put together an evening of shows. They'll be mentored by adults. They're looking for young filmmakers who want to make stuff. They're looking for a lot of things. Give them a ring, 989-4423.
And I got a news bulletin from Bandelier National Park, and here's some safety reminders. Do not hike or run alone in mountain lion country. Stay in groups whenever possible. Keep your children close to you. If a mountain lion approaches you, back away. Do not run away. Running triggers their hunting response. When picnicking, hiking, or camping, do not leave your food unattended. Even in backpacks, bears, ravens, and squirrels like it, and they will eat it. If a black bear approaches you, make yourself big and yell to scare it away. Make yourself big.
Nobody bear ever approaches, man. That's always what I want. It's funny with my cats. Like, if I act a little scared for my cats and go, no, please, then they, like, get hunched up like they're going to get me. And if I do that with my dogs, they really get into it. I'm like, puppies, please don't get me. And they get all excited like they're going to get me. So they're absolutely right with the mountain lion and the bear. Because if this happens with your house cat and your dog, like at my house where I can't even get in the house.
Just imagine, mountain lions are so much like domestic cats and dogs are so much like bears.
My point is that if you can't even get into your apartment because of your animals, then obviously if you're out in the... See, there's always got to be some... I'm trying to display some realism here in terms of the...
Display away.
Antics of the animals. What time is it?
It's 8:56.
Anyway.
Do not feed the squirrels and watch out for rattlesnakes in sunny areas and areas near water. Do not touch or taunt the rattlesnakes. They only bite when they feel threatened. I just wanted to pass that on because
these
a lot of people hike
sense tips.
During 4th of July weekend.
I went out to El Rancho de los Colondrinos and some guy did a demonstration with rattlesnakes. He put one on the ground and he showed how, like, if you're wearing good boots and you don't disturb the rattlesnake and you don't move too quickly, he won't strike you, that he can't even really see you because they have bad eyes. But they sense the movement, so you've got to be cautious and calm, and it's a scary thing to be when rattlesnakes. It's bad enough like little kitty cats in my house.
So with the bear, make yourself big, and with the rattlesnake, make yourself...
Scarce. And with alligators, stand up. Unless you're in the water, in which case you're out of luck.
Yeah, the alligator problem in New Mexico is major.
There we go again. See, it's there can't even be like a nice Independence Day. There's always got to be some indication that I'm an idiosyncrasy of some sort.
You know what, Robert? Let me just look at me right now. You love it.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, spacious skies. Amber waves of grain. Purple mountain. Majesties upon this fruited plain, America, America, God shed thy grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood, which we could definitely use from sea to shining sea. Have a great 4th of July. Be safe, okay?
Thank you so much, Robert Knott,
yeah,
for being with us and for
with
singing. And, yeah, really.
It's a good day to declare your independence.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe with Robert Knott, the associate editor of the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. And he's with us here just about every Friday speaking of the arts. And it's always wonderful to have you. And
thank
I
you.
Mean that, Robert.
I know that.
Happy 4th of July.
I love being on your show. It's a kick.
And I love having you on my show. And this is now officially a love fest, especially since my dachshund Horatio is on my lap.
Oh, Horatio.
KSFR streams live on the web at KSFR.org. You can reach me by email at radiocafe@KSFR.org or leave a message at 428-1528. We are also podcasting at the website SantaFeRadioCafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. And you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Thanks to Mary Lynn LeBlanc for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, Jazz a la Carta. And I will be here off and on throughout the morning, on the air and off the air and walking around. So come on down for Pancakes on the Plaza, broadcasting live from the Plaza of Santa Fe on this beautiful 4th of July. My name is Mary Charlotte.
I know that.
We will see you on Monday, and we will see you here on this wonderful day. Hasta la vista, baby.
Adios, Mary Charlotte.